escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny, taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan.
We, Grant and Danny, we're sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Moron, state planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
A lot to get into on the Nationals front, but there was a story today in the Washington Post that we wanted to pay some attention to. Really good reporting and really well written by Spencer Nussbaum, who joins us now, covers the team for the Post. You can follow him on social. It's just his name with an underscore at the end. Spencer, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Yeah, thank you guys. Doing well.
So let's just start with your piece today. Almost every team in baseball, from the Yankees and the Dodgers who spend all the money, to the Marlins, White Sox, and Rockies who spend none of it, have invested in the fanciest pitching machine available, and the Nats haven't. And based on your reporting, you couldn't confirm every single team, but you know of at least 25 teams that have it. There's a chance the Nats are the only one that don't. There's a couple teams maybe with them. But the idea is that players are saying this would help them a lot, and it costs a lot of money, and they haven't gotten it. And this is the kind of thing, it's the smoking gun of what I wonder about all the time, which is, you know, they get crushed for drafting and developing and success stories. Are they getting the resources needed to actually turn their players into really successful big leaguers? So just go into the piece and how long you've been working on it.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Just to give a little background here, as you said, there's a fancy pitching machine called a TrajectArc. It's basically the closest thing you're going to find to putting an actual pitcher in the batting cages, meaning that, you know, there's a screen, and from that screen, there's video of a pitcher uploaded, and then the pitch that comes out of a hole in the screen is the exact characteristics that you're going to see in a game. So if I want to see, hey, 10 fastballs from Max Scherzer, I'm going to be able to hit that. And I'm going to be able to prepare for that before the game, before I pinch hit, whenever I want to do it. This is something that
can
really...
Can I ask real quick? So like if you're not playing and you know you're going to pinch hit in the seventh and you're probably going to get their lefty, and let's just say, you know, that I'm just going to make up the name of it, but that's Sammy Solis. You can go down during the game, like 15 minutes before you're at bat, plug in Sammy Solis, and then take an at-bat against him. That's what you're saying.
That is correct. Last year, Major League Baseball allowed teams to use it during games from 2021 until 23. It was only before games that you were allowed to use it. But teams have had it. A number of teams have had it for 4 years now.
Wow.
A good number of teams. I think at the midpoint of last year, 19 teams had it, and then at least 6 or 7 teams have added it since then, which brings you up to the 25 total that we were able to track down. And again, that number may be 1 or 2 teams higher than that. So yes, it's something that almost every team has, and the Nationals, are one of the few who said, at least so far, this is not something that we're investing in.
So the $1 million question, or in this case, a $500,000 question, because that's about how much it costs for a year, it would inevitably be, do they not have it because they don't believe in it, or they don't have it because they don't want to pay for it?
Yeah, and there's a complicated answer there. The simplest answer is the latter, and I think you find that with basically anywhere you go. That being said, again, talking with people, in and around the organization, people who obviously have worked with the TrajectArc before, and things in that vein, there is a vetting process there, because you have to know, you know, it's $500,000, which in the grand scheme of things is not all that much for a team to spend. But if you're going to invest that sort of money, you need to know, hey, players are going to use it, it's going to help. This is a fairly new piece of technology. So again, you have to vet that it's going to fit, I mean, in your cages, like the Diamondbacks, which is one of the teams I talked to for this. A couple of years ago, they didn't have this, they bought it and then didn't have the space in their cages for it. And so you kind of need to do that whole process. But I mean, really, at the end of the day, every indication is that it comes down to money. You know, they've decided to invest in these iPitch machines, which are similar in that they output, you know, near facsimiles of a pitch, but it's not the same thing because you don't get that visual representation of a pitcher actually pitching. You don't get that timing mechanism that, again, hitter stress is so important for them to have.
The Oculus machine, or I don't know if that was the word you used, but it's basically like the goggles people wear for VR, right? That's the way you were the beginning of the story when Alex Call was wearing the goggles and basically sitting in a chair in his locker stall going through an at bat. That's the version of that, but he can't stand there in the cage with a bat and time it up.
Correct. And again, so there's that Oculus, and then there's the iPitch, which is a physical pitching machine, but it just doesn't have the same sort of feel of, oh, I'm facing a real pitcher that the Traject Arc is going to have. So a lot of these guys have just resorted to either at home or in Alex's case, both at home and once he gets to the stadium, I'm going to take a look at, you know, 50 pitches on the Oculus. There's also guys like Nathaniel Lowe who are like, this is a video game. It's not going to work for me. But I think it was pretty round agreement that, hey, if all these other teams are investing in a Traject, like, why are we not doing that?
Spencer Nussbaum with us here on Grant and Dan. It's a great piece in the Washington Post about the Nationals being one of maybe the only team, or at least one of a few teams, to not invest in a brand spanking new technology to help their hitters. So it's not any kind of guarantee of success, right? You still have to work hard and still have to, you know, have good hitters. And, you know, you could send, I don't know, Riley Adams into that thing a million times. He's not going to come out as Luis Arraez, right? It's sort of not how the thing works. But it's emblematic for a lot of fans where we're sitting there looking for concrete examples, Spencer, and you come across one with your great reporting, and it's like, see, we knew it. I don't know if it's this or they're not spending on nutrition or something. It just feels like the spending isn't there. Is this, in your experience now covering the team day to day, sort of emblematic of maybe some grumbling how players feel or kind of that impression where the money's just not being spent in the way that it should be?
I think you're taking it in the right direction here. And again, we'll keep kind of nailing this issue. I think a great example would be to look at a team like the Marlins, who know that they are not bringing in the sort of revenue that they need to invest in a, you know, active payroll that's in the top half of baseball. But ever since they brought in, you know, Peter Bendix from the Rays, they have, you know, taken that money that they would put in payroll and they've invested it in player development, technology, all the stuff behind the scenes that some of the way that these small market teams operate, they put their money into that rather than the payroll itself. Obviously the best teams, the Dodgers, are a great example, are going to do both, but it's really hard to act like a big market team or even a mid-market team with a small market payroll and, you know, spend. And I, you know, I like the Soroka signing at the time. I still think I like it, but you have to think $9 million, what that could do for, you know, adding, you know, development or adding, taking a portion of that and, you know, adding a few coaches and, you know, it kind of makes your brain spin.
Well, I've got a crazier idea, Spencer. Soroka at $9 million and then a couple more million on that stuff.
it's not a bad idea.
Isn't that nuts?
Like, wouldn't that be, it's not an or, right? But it could be a both situation. Spencer Nussbaum, sure, of the Post is with us, and he's living in the reality that seems to be what's going on out there. So this is a little bit redundant to what Danny said, but I wonder, and maybe you're already working on this, like, what other areas can be dived into here at the minor league level? Your colleague, Barry Sferluga, wrote a column this past week where he took them to task on the draft and the development success of the last many, many years. And I certainly understand it is not above reproach. I mean, they deserve to be questioned and grilled on it. It hasn't been good for a long, long time, although I think it's trending up here recently since they've made some changes. But I guess my point is, what I've always wondered, and I've never had an answer to, is, are we sure they're getting the tools and the resources? Like, if you brought in, I don't know who you think is the best player development organization in baseball, but the Dodgers or whoever it is, and they're operating on this budget where they don't get the fancy hitting machine, and they don't get the biomechanics plates until 6 years after the San Francisco Giants, and they don't get the, whatever it is. Are we sure that you can keep staying at the top of your craft?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the obvious answer to that is no. Maybe the more nuanced answer, I guess, is again, if you look at the way, and it, you know, so we're still reporting on some of this stuff and where, you know, maybe the Nats have had shortcomings in development and where they could be investing or doing things differently or innovating. And so, you know, you guys will, you'll have to keep an eye out for that. But in terms of kind of looking at the bigger picture, I mean, really name any part of development. If you want to add another nutritionist, that's not a whole lot more money. If you want to, you know, hire two more biomechanists, that's not a whole lot more money. If you want to invest in a traject, that's $500,000. It's not an insignificant amount of money, but in the context of a $120 million payroll, you know, that's not all that much.
And by the way, it's not, you know, baseball, maybe it's unique, right? Because it's a, whatever, a $15 billion industry or whatever Major League Baseball is now. But it's relatable content if, you know, your company doesn't spend on the thing right. that gives you the obvious return. Like, in other words, correct. You're selling it on, hey, I think this could make me better. And they're going, maybe. Get back to work. You know, there's a lot of that in business. But I understand that baseball feels different because the, I mean, they don't get a lot of people coming out, but they get plenty enough, it seems like, to just do more than it feels like sometimes they do.
Yeah. And I mean, look, if you have two players on the team who go, this could maybe help me, most of the time you're going to invest in that. Especially if you're a team that has the resources to do so, with the traject in particular, and in other areas that we'll, I guess, you know, get into down the road, that hasn't been the case.
So Spencer, what do they have instead? If 25 or more have this traject arc or tragic arc, I haven't said the word right yet. If they've got the new fancy hologram machine, what do the Nationals have in lieu of that?
Yeah. So in 2023, they invested in eye pitch machines, all across the organization. So I believe every single affiliate has these machines. They are, for lack of better phrasing, similar in look to a traditional pitching machine that you will find anywhere. What they are able to do is that is the same as a traject arc, is say you want to, you know, face 10 Mackenzie Gore sliders. You can get the shape and velocity of 10 Mackenzie Gore sliders to come out of the machine. Where it is different, again, is you're not getting that visual representation. You're not getting that exact timing because, you know, hitters care so much and time so much based on a pitcher's windup. And the eye pitch machine is just not going to have that. And then, as is covered in the article as well, a lot of these guys, Alex Call, chief among them, and I encourage people to read what he has to say in the story about the Oculus goggles, because he basically said he's taken 25 seasons worth of pitches on those things, and you've seen the results. So a number of guys have used that as well, but that's a really inexpensive, cheap alternative that just helps for plate discipline, does not help for timing, does not help for swinging. Is just kind of to help with swing decisions, if you will.
Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post. So I just Googled the eye pitch machine. We can buy one and have it here in studio. Anywhere between, it looks like $2,600, and then the highest end ones might be up to $17,000. So Danny, if we want to get one of those, we could get one in studio.
I have $24 in my wallet right now.
Just like the Washington Nationals. Spencer, today was actually, interestingly, a significant day on the marketing side. And Danny and I were joking about this. We would never, ever, ever spend any time on our show talking about a deal that a team struck in town, if not for this. Because the Nats had been the only team in baseball for a long time without either a jersey patch sponsor or a sponsor on their ballpark. And it was just indicative of kind of how business had been done, that they weren't willing to accept less than they thought they should. And today, finally, with AARP, they struck a deal to have a jersey patch moving forward. Little deal or big deal for you?
I would say medium deal, and okay. I know it's unfair to hedge. It is a big deal in the sense that, as you said, they were the only team without one. The fact that ownership was able to get on the same page about something as it relates to either stadium or you know, a jersey patch is a big deal. Small deal in that we don't know exactly how they're going to reallocate that money, whether that is, hey, this offseason that gives them X million more to spend, whether that's to pay off certain bills or take care of other things. We simply can't know that yet. And so that's where, you know, I hate to hedge on a radio show, but I think I kind of have to hedge here because we just don't know how they're going to spend that money. But it's absolutely significant that they've taken that step. As you know, Barry said earlier, you know, it's not like Nationals Park is Fenway or Wrigley. You can slap a name onto that too and make quite a bit. I think if they take both of those steps, then I lean towards a big deal. But for now, I can't say anything more than medium.
Yeah, Spencer, you said something that I found really interesting. That ownership, and I'm probably misquoting you or trying to paraphrase a little bit here. You said ownership got on the same page about something. I think that's kind of the story, though, here, right? Is I get the sense that nobody's on the same page about anything over there a lot of times, whether it's the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, the front office maybe wants something, and you can't reach ownership, or the other way around, and just sort of seems like it's not fully functioning, like the fully armed and operational battle station, to borrow from Star Wars. But when I heard you say that ownership got on the same page about something, I think that's why it's significant, I think, for a lot of folks following this thing. Just want your reaction.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And look, I'm not in those rooms, so I can't say exactly how things are going down, and I can't speculate too much on, hey, I know this person is uncooperative, I know this person is cooperative. If you're not in those rooms, you can't really speculate on that. But you see in the way that they've operated the business, the fact that they haven't pounced on this earlier is a perfect example of, hey, maybe this isn't as streamlined an operation ownership-wise and kind of in those navigations as, you know, maybe you would be led to believe.
One baseball question. We'll let you out on this. Weirdly, a baseball question, believe it or not. James Wood got IBB'd 4 times yesterday, first time since Barry Bonds 2 decades ago, 6th time ever, I think, that a guy's been intentionally walked, you know, that many times in a game. Question being, how long do you let him get walked if this starts happening before you make a change where Abrams hits behind him, whether he leads off or Abrams hits third and he hits second? Because
escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They can't afford to just let him stand at first constantly.
Correct. Where, and I held that belief for a while, and I still think there's a part of me that does think you gotta swap things up. That being said, if you go and look at how many at-bats James has taken with runners in scoring position compared to how many CJ has taken, and I was looking at this 3 weeks ago, so it's possible things have changed. But CJ just has not had the same opportunities to drive guys in as James has. That's why you see James having those gaudy RBI numbers. And so I think for now, really, there's not a whole lot you can do other than let him get walked and hope that Louis stays hot. Nathaniel Lowe, who's been better as of late, continues trending upward. But as we will cover in the coming weeks and the coming months and coming years, the ultimate recipe to that is just have more depth in your player development, and then you don't have to worry about James getting intentionally walked all the time.
Spencer, great reporting, man, here in the in the Washington Post. Excellent story. Really appreciate the time with us as well, man. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Spencer Nussbaum, go check out the story in the Post. It is very, very good. And it kind of, I hate to say smoking gun, but it lends credence to my fears. It's just evidence of, here's a thing they could have that they don't. It's something I'm always asking about. Like, hey, do you guys have this? Most of the time it's like, yeah, we've got that.
We got that.
We got that in every minor league ballpark now. It was probably several years after the Astros had it, but we got that.
I'm reminded of a Dave Chappelle bit about something completely different, but he basically comes to the conclusion and he said, everything that we thought you was doing inside that house, you was doing. And that's what this is. In other words, where it's like, I keep saying, like, they're not spending. So give me an example. Well, I don't know what the tragic arc or trajectory arc or whatever the hell that, I've never heard of that until I read this story. That's what it's called. They don't have it. Everybody else does. That's my example. So yeah, it's to borrow the phrase, it's a smoking gun.
According to Adam Schefter, teams are mulling the possibility of trading for TJ Watt, or at least offering up deals for TJ Watt. Now, the Steelers have shown no real indication or inclination they're going to trade him. And I think this is noise. Same way that a lot of the McLaurin discussion, and we're having it today because it is the news of the day. But I think ultimately we'll look back and say that was offseason noise. In the meantime, you got to treat it seriously. It's a guy who doesn't have a contract, who needs to have a contract, who's really important. But Watt, right now, with the Steelers, not close to a contract. Sound familiar? Pittsburgh today traded a 3-time All-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of a put-you-on-notice thing with TJ Watt, I think. Now, they were able to do it in a deal where they got a 3-time All-Pro back and a tight end who had 87 catches last year. But they basically traded the same credentials in terms of 7 Pro Bowls. I think Watt's a 4-time All-Pro, so more than Minka. He's obviously a DPOY candidate, which at his peak, Fitzpatrick was as well, but he isn't anymore. But Watt, even last year, playing through a lot of injuries, his sack count went from 19 to 11.5. He's actually had 2 of his last 3 seasons. One of those years, he missed 7 games. But 2 of his last 3 seasons where his sack counts have been 5.5 and 11.5.
Yep.
Now, the other 3 years in the last 5, he's led the NFL with 15, 22.5, and 19. I think you can make the case he's got the highest ceiling of any end rusher, not named Myles Garrett.
Yeah, you know what it looks like when he plays.
Exactly.
It ruins offenses.
Week 1 last year against Atlanta, he single-handedly beat the Falcons. They had Justin Fields starting, who stunk. They couldn't do anything on offense, and he just, one play after another, destroyed everything Atlanta was trying to do. And that's the kind of player he is when he's fully healthy. But now, all of a sudden, Schefter's saying there's enough issue between the two teams that clubs are starting to pick up the phone and see what it would cost to get him. I'm just going to go on record and say there's no way he gets traded. It feels like Pittsburgh's version of McLaurin. He is the Steelers to me.
Yeah, I feel like it happens as well, but this is that posturing phase, right? Where you look at some of the active deals, by the way, the edge position, very similar to receiver. It's interesting what's valued in this league.
That's true.
Throwing the football the most, catching the football, and tackling the guy that throws the football. Those are your top 3.
I'd ask you to go back to Myles Garrett, who said in a statement, mm-hmm. I want to win a Super Bowl. I'm tired of playing here. I got to get out. Something along those lines. And the whole point of him leaving Cleveland was, I'm never going to win here, and I need to go win somewhere. And all of a sudden, when they paid him what he wanted, made him the highest paid edge.
How's $40 million a year sound?
League history. Suddenly, winning a Super Bowl wasn't as big of a deal. Or the commentary became, I'm going to win a Super Bowl in Cleveland. And I think with TJ Watt, similarly, it's all going to sound like it's not good until they offer him what he wants and he's going to take it. Guys like him don't get out of buildings. He's
too
good.
You would think so. Yeah. I mean, I think this will be his 30-year-old season. And yeah, the injuries are there. I mean, that's a factor. So, you know, maybe how they structure it or something to that effect. But when he's right, it's Bold Ink, 19, 22.5, 15, you know, an injury plagued season last year, still slowed down, but 11.5 sacks. Like, he's unbelievably good and commands all the attention. So you still get that production. And the attention lets other guys like Highsmith opposite him and some of the other beasts on that defensive line eat as well.
If you missed John Walton today on the Caps draft and free agency for them starting tomorrow, or our buddy Ryan Wilson from CBS's NFL coverage on the blockbuster Steelers-Dolphins trade and McLaurin negotiation ongoing with Washington, you can podcast those conversations at thefandc.com. Tomorrow at 4, we've got more tickets to see Adam Sandler in D.C. Also want to talk about Patrick Mahomes compared to the greats at this point of his career, and a significant date in Caps history for Nicholas Backstrom. We'll get into all of that on tomorrow's show. Linnell's got overtime coming up next. Thanks to Ryan and Darius behind the scenes. Grant and Danny saying so long. We will talk with you at 2:00 on Tuesday.
Thank you for coming.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.